Ino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Dero Kolona Aleinu Maaseh Dero Kolonehu. Shalom Aleichem. Baruchim Abayim. Welcome everyone. Be'ezrat Hashem. We are now in our fourth segment of our telling the story of Rabbi Yosef de la Reina, the great and holy Mikubal, I guess in the 1400s, who single-handedly endeavored to try to take on the Satan, to topple him, the forces of evil, to, if you will, force the hand of heaven to bring Mashiach. A point that I've made in our previous lessons that I have to reiterate now. We tend, in religious circles, to look at stories and to look at them almost mythologically as fairy tale stories. This is an insult to the intelligence of our sages. Just to give our present class a time of dating. Today, live, of course, it's Sunday, June 1st here in California at night. And a week from tonight is Shavuot. And Shavuot night, of course, commemorates the giving of Torah on Har Sinai. Most people, when they read the stories, read them as mythology, fairy tales, childlike once upon a time tales, which are appropriate for the mental age of a five-year-old. And unfortunately, many of us never really grow up beyond that. And it's, in my opinion, an insult to intelligence. And to quote the words of Pirkei Avot, Oy le'olam shel elbona d'Torah, woe to the world because of the disgrace shown to Torah. Let me put it to you real bluntly. Shavuot was a close encounter of the most intimate kind with a very real, overt, legitimate, real extraterrestrial force. Some people in certain religious circles don't like that I use that word extraterrestrial because they think of little gray hair, gray-skinned aliens and flying saucers. Accuse me, Rabbi, am I saying that God is an alien? I'm not talking about God. But if you want to talk about God's messengers, which I have taught in numerous other classes, are various different races of entities and beings. We are, in our story here, Rabbi Yosef de la Reina, encountering them, learning how to communicate with them. And I assure you, they are as extraterrestrial as you're going to get. And here is a very important point when we talk about angels. Most modern rabbis, Kabbalists included, follow an Aristotelian philosophy that angels are absolutely purely detached and void of any form, physical or otherwise. This contradicts comprehensively and completely all of the older teachings of the original Mikubalim and our sages. So much so that if you even bring up the opinion of the older generations, people say, oh, they didn't understand and they dismiss it. This is a sign, in my opinion, of immaturity. Proper scholarship addresses an issue, accepts it for what it is, and endeavors to investigate and understand it, rather than to somehow emotionally dismiss it, poo-pah, and say, well, we don't believe this, or we don't do that. You know something? If you want to be a true student of Torah, and I don't care if you are a practicing rabbi, a ben Torah or a ben Noach, you, as a human being, are obligated by what makes you to be human to cultivate and educate yourself, to cultivate the powers of your intellect, to be sophisticated in your intellectual pursuits, and not to accept things in childlike simplicity, in fairy tale mentality. When we read the story of Matan Torah, when we hear stories of Malachim, we endeavor to embellish these with all types of ridiculous, foolish stories, which make no intellectual sense. And I see many otherwise intelligent people accepting these. Oh, yeah, look at what it says. Ooh, ah. And I said, you realize you're reading story, right? And they go, well, no, that's what it says, so I have to believe it. No. Rambam, remember him, Maimonides? And his Talmud commentary, it's a commentary to Perek Helet, the 11th chapter of Masechet Sanhedrin, writes clearly how we must understand Midrashim. Our sages, God forbid, heaven help you, you think that they were these mythological fools. When they wrote, they were concealing tremendous, profound secrets. Our story here of Rabbi Yosef de la Reina is equal in that amount. Simply because, although we are not here at Matan Torah, Rabbi Yosef, is in contact with the same angels who appeared with Hashem at Har Sinai. And this is very, very important for you to understand. Because the nature and means of communication with what we call angels, and I'm going to throw in that monkey wrench word you do not like, extraterrestrial. Let me tell you something. They are very real. What's their actual nature? How do they appear in their dimension or on their planet? You know something? I don't know. I'm not on their plane, call it a dimension or planet. I'm not there physically to see them in their state. All I know is how they appear to us here. Sometimes they can come holographically. Sometimes they can come visually. But as clearly seen in our examples here from Rabbi Yosef, and from other works such as Ohel Moed, which I teach our private class in, you will find angels come quite literally, physically. Not only those that are concealed and invisible to our eye and help us every day, but those which we call upon from heaven. I have seen when I've written my material on extraterrestrials and modern mythology, how some people think it's actually very cool, desirous actually, to have an alien abduction. They want these little gray aliens to pop into their bedroom and steal them at night so as to do sexual experiments on them and the like. You know something? Some people are idiots, aren't they? And that's just what we have to call them. Idiots, fools, jerks. Can't go on with enough idiotic names to call such stupid people. These experiences are not fantasiacal. They're real. And they're not actually physical. They happen in that state in between awake and asleep. And in that state, these entities come. And they're not physical, but they're not non-physical. They're in that intermediate state. We read about this right in the Gemara. Masechet Berachot, Daf Hei states, you ever want to see Shindalots, demons, that possibly could come and enter your domain? He said, sprinkle some fine powder around your bed at night and look in the morning and see if you see any footprints there. Now, invisible to the eye, not invisible to the dust, think about it, just how physical or non-physical they are. When you come to talking about angels, there are ways to communicate with them. When it comes to talking about demons, Shindalots, there are ways to communicate with them. There are ways to call them as similar as we would call one another on a cell phone. No, the means to contact them is not technological, at least not to the best of our knowledge. However, it does involve a technology of the mind, the specific calibration and focus of consciousness, which, vibrating in a specific frequency, harmonizing with a specific rate, if you will, can actually put you in the same, I don't know, area code, dial-up number, as these entities who can then make contact with you. But this contact is a bridge between dimensions and worlds. It is a most overwhelming experience. Rav Yosef here was endeavoring to do this. You must understand something. We're talking about the Satan. We're talking about the angel whose name is Sam. We don't say his full name. He is not a human being. And he most certainly is not subject to fall into human hands. Let me make a comparison. Let's say there are strains of bacteria that keep getting angry that human beings are wiping them out with their antibiotics. And one of the bacteria raises up and says, I want to strike down the doctor who does this. Now, you and I will sit and chuckle and say, gee, I never knew a bacteria was so intelligent. Do you think it could ever really make such a plan that it could kill a human being all by itself? We'd sit and we'd chuckle. We'd sit and we'd watch it under our petri dish, let it do all its silly things, and finally, if and when it ever was a threat, we'd wipe it out in a second. That's what Sam is like. We're nothing more than, if you will, a little piece of bacteria in his eyes. He, a fellow creation of our Creator, blessed be He, is a very, advanced, evolved, very powerful entity who most certainly is not going to fall to a physical human being of flesh and blood. What on earth, then, is the foundation of our story? You must understand what Rav Yosef here is trying to do. He is not the first one who has tried to do what he's doing. In the Gemara, Masechet Hagigah, we read again about the four great sages who attempted to enter the Pardes. Maybe you're familiar with the story. Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Elisha, Ben Aboya, Acher, and of course Rabbi Akiva. One looks around and dies. One looks around and becomes crazy. One looks around and becomes an apostate. And only Rabbi Akiva enters and exits in peace. Long story about that. I've covered this in my written works. But no one understand that the nature of humanity, our original source, what we are in truth, is as extraterrestrial and foreign and unindigenous to planet Earth as any extraterrestrial you can possibly imagine. Remember that the Bible clearly states that God formed our bodies from the dust of the earth, but He breathed into us, if you will, the living soul. Our living souls came from another domain, another place, very non-indigenous to this earth. And in Kabbalistic tradition, how this is understood is radical and profound. We are the true extraterrestrials. And therefore, we have a very intimate relationship with other, in quote, extraterrestrials of our similar nature and design. Now, let me share with you this. This is a pretty big secret that most people don't know. It is recorded in the writings of the Baal Shem Tov. It's recorded in the Emek HaMelech, Shar Yetzirah, amongst many others. When Adam, as we know, fell, Garden of Eden, we all know the story, the Arizal explains how all human souls were included in Adam. Adam, therefore, was the collective of all humanity, all mankind. The thing of Adam as an individual, I think, is inappropriate. It was a race. But not all souls fell when Adam did. There was a group of souls that split off from Adam and said, we are not going to partake of this forbidden fruit. We are going to leave you behind. These souls became known by a specific name. These souls were known as Metatron, the archangel. Notice that the name is individual, but the souls are plural. How do we ever integrate a singularity in a pluralism? You know something? I'll let God and heaven and all the way that heaven deals with those things to answer those questions, because I don't think any of us truly understand it beyond any kind of a philosophical explanation. The Emek HaMelech is where I'm quoting this from. Shar Yetzirah. That the souls that left Adam were called Metatron. When Chanoch ben Yared, Enoch, when he rose to such a height, he joined Metatron. Now, this is an interesting point. You must understand this about the nature of Matat, Metatron. First, it's a Greek name, if I'm not mistaken, meaning guide, leader, or protector. So I'm not even certain if the name Metatron should be considered a Shem Kadosh, a holy name, because it's apparently not the real name. It's a title. Those souls which did not fall, as we say, and became known by this name, Enoch joined them. There is a Gemara, a very famous Gemara, where in which it speaks about how God had his guide, if you will, his right-hand man at creation. They said this was his right-hand angel, the angel of the Lord, who we call Matat. And the Tosafot ask a very good question. How is it that our sages have taught for centuries that Enoch ascended to heaven to become Matat, and yet he's with God at creation? And they gave a very clear answer. Because Matat, obviously, they didn't say actually a race of angels, but an individual angel. And Hanoch came and just joined him, became part of him. Now, don't think these Bali Tosafot, right, the Tosafot and the Gemara, are these, you know, rationally minded, void of mystical people. Because, oh boy, are you mistaken. The master, the Bali Tosafot, the people who wrote those Tosafot, granted the Tosafot writings show their rational, intellectual side of understanding of the Gemara. But yet you got to read their other materials, their mystical materials, their Kabbalistic materials. Their Kabbalah did not deal with the realms of philosophy. They spoke with the angels. Indeed, one of the great works that came out of the Tosafot is by Rabbi Yaakov of Meirush. Rabbi Yaakov was an interesting fellow. He used to go into meditative trances and talk to the angels and ask the angels what the halakha was. The angel would tell him what it was, and he wrote a book. It's called Shoot from Shemayim. And it's a classical Torah literature. It's available in, I would think, almost every Hebrew bookstore, both online and in store shelves. And it led to a great controversy in Jewish legal circles of, you know, you're not really supposed to, you know, posek, as they say, to ordain Jewish law like that. And therefore, his works should have been dismissed. But nonetheless, there are things that are written in his book which are considered the fundamental foundation of many of the laws embraced by Ashkenazi Judaism for the last 1,000 years. So we'll take that. Now, understand and know, there are people who talk about this material philosophically, and there are those people who talk about this material experientially. Philosophers, in all due respect, I have very little respect for. They can pontificate all the ideas that they want. They can tell you that an angel is like this, and an angel is like that, and how many angels can stand on the head of a pin. And then I just simply dash them all to pieces with a simple question. When was the last time you spoke with an angel? When was the last time you saw one? How do you know? And usually the brilliant scholars that they are will quote to me 100 different books, to which my response, of course, is the same. How do they know? If you don't see with your own eyes, then you just don't know. You want to meet an angel? Sure. Stories here Rabbi Yosef outlines to us are excellent guidelines. This material is not lost to us. We are not imprisoned in a mindset of philosophy. Judaism and Torah has much more than that. And why is this important? Because we must elevate ourselves beyond the level of being spiritual children, believing fairy tales, saying how good it is, how sweet it is, oh, Baruch Hashem this, Baruch Hashem that, you know. You sound like idiots as far as I'm concerned. Ugh, I hate it when I hear people so devoid and divorced from the reality of life. That's exactly my attitude on it. And forgive me if I insult people, but frankly, I don't care, because if I don't say it, no one's ever going to learn. Our life is not games. Our life is not fun. Our life is school. It's a test. This whole world that we live in is a veil of sheker. And you bond yourself to it in the most stupid, most idiotic connections and relationships, which makes absolutely no sense. I've heard it over many, many years, people say, you know something, a really stupid thing to do? Is if you're in the freezing cold, and you take your wet tongue and go lick like ice, and you know, bonds to it and you can't get it off. You say, why does somebody do something stupid like that? Right? Don't they realize how dangerous that is and the pain that it causes them? And yet at the same time, I see people bond themselves to the physical world with the same stupidity. A point that was made here in our previous lesson going now into where we are now. Rabbi Yosef contacts the angel who is not called by this name in this text here, but we recognize it being the archangel Sandal. Sandal is recognized as being the angel who is in charge of the Ophanim angels. Sandal's job is to gather the collective mental resonant frequencies of the mind, which we call prayer, and to gather those energies and to congeal them into a concentric hole, and to whatever spiritual technology is given in his hands, to take this energy and to generate and to pass it through the dimensional planes, to pass it, if you will, along its way. And that's exactly right. Prayer is as mechanical as any other technological device. And just because you pray doesn't mean God hears you, doesn't mean your prayers are answered. No fairy tales and make believe here. You got to go through the system. And if you're not willing to wake up to it, well, you know something, go through the next 500 incarnations. You'll learn. I don't care. Let's go back into our story now. We're right in the middle of Rav Yosef talking with an angel. He says, Dalecha ben Adam, know now, son of man, human being. Everything you've done until now, all the fasting, everything else, nothing. It's nothing. If you only knew to what place Sam and his camp have ascended and risen, you wouldn't try what you're doing. You're like that little itsy bitsy bacteria. You think you're going to take out the doctor. Do you have any idea, any concept of the realization of what you're doing? Maybe a matat can do it. Because the matat hasn't fallen. He's not indigenous to this earth. He never incarnated here. Oh, just as a little side note, a point that's made very, very clear by our sages. Moshe Rabbeinu had an angel, a magid, a spiritual guide, a Rebbe, who taught him the Torah from Hashem. Where does it say that? Oh, in every single Midrash. Go look in Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, amongst other places. It's there, right in Sefer Shemot. Alright? The name of the angel, Yonatan ben Uziel, actually names. Alright? I'm not going to bother mentioning his name, but we recognize the name of the angel as being one of the 70 names of Matat. What do you learn from this? That Matat was Moshe Rabbeinu's Rebbe in Shemaim. That's right. That's right. Now, you want to make the pot a little more stirred? We're taught that Moshe Rabbeinu himself is going to come back as Mashiach. But a point the Arizal says, it's not actually Moshe who comes back, but the Neshama of the Neshama of Moshe, or his higher self. And as the Gaon of Vilna states in his commentary to the Sefer Yetzirah, a person's angelic guide is none other than his higher self. Learn then that Moshe Rabbeinu's own higher self was a Metatron. And therefore the Metatron, or the unfallen human souls, the teacher of Moshe Rabbeinu, will be Mashiach. And Mashiach is the only one who has the ability to topple a fellow entity of similar nature, the Sam. So, Mashiach will be able to do this. Rav Yosef was trying to rise to that level, to become a Matat. And as you proceed in that story, he did make contact. Let's continue. Mi yachol lo. Zulati HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado be'atzmo ad et ba devaro. Who is able to defeat him with the exception of Hashem by himself, right? At the time that he will choose. Ba'ani, ma'ani yachol lasot lecha. The angel himself says to Rabbi Yosef, what can I do? Ki eino yachol hasig l'dat b'ma gadol kocho shel sam ha'machaneo. Even I don't know how powerful sam is. U'b'ma t'lui yiridato v'aliyato. And I don't even know how to topple him, bring him up, or anything. Zulati ha'malach ha'gadol. And he now names the angels who can do this. One is called Akatrikel, and a very famous angel, even whose name is recorded in the Gemara. The Chayolotav and all of his armies. Omatat, Sarapanim, Metatron, the angel of the presence. The Chayolotav and all of his angels. Matat is always referred to as the angel of the Lord. Akatrikel means, if you will, the crown of God. Notice that his name I will not recite, because that is a Shem Kadosh. Alright? He is an emanation of Hashem, as is Matat. No, they're not one and the same. But then again, sometimes they're described as one and the same. It gets rather confusing when you deal with the philosophical issues, because the philosophical issues are not clear on the matter. But those who understand very well know we're dealing with a race of beings. And they are distinct from one another, as you and I are distinct from one another. Oh, does that mean they're physical? I never said that they were physical by the definition of what we understand as physical. I guarantee you they have forms. I guarantee you they have bodies. I'm not going to tell you those bodies are made of flesh and blood like ours. I don't think they are at all. I think their bodies, if you will, might actually kind of look like ours. To a point. But yet, I don't think they're made of physical matter as we understand it. And that's important. Maybe if you're familiar with the famous movies called Star Wars. In the Star Wars movie, the first and the second one and the third one from the old original series, they had a character played by Alec Guinness named Obi-Wan Kenobi. And in the first movie, which was episode 4, remember he gets killed. But yet, in the following two movies, his glowing, glittering self comes back. And it wasn't a ghost. This is what we refer to as a halukada rabbanan, an astral body, if you will. It is the body that Adam had before the sin, which apparently, therefore, must be the bodies that the Metatron, who are the souls of Adam, prior to the sin, must have inhabited as well, the bodies of light. And as such, I will extrapolate and therefore conclude this must be the form that certain angels have, and when they appear at certain times in certain ways. What else can we learn from this? This is apparently the experience that Rabbi Yosef is having now with Sandal. But let's move right along. All right, Rav Yosef has to call upon Akatrikel and Matat. And the angel Sandal continues and says to him, Ani ein koch v'yadi la'asot. I can't help you anymore. The only thing that I can do is lishmur netivot ha'kiddushim asher bo'olam ha'asiya. My job is just to guard the paths of holiness in this world of asiya. That's a job of an ofan. His job is precise. He has the ability to accomplish his tasks. But no more. If you will, in the scheme of things, he is maybe a lieutenant or a captain, and he is in charge of his platoon or his company, and that's it. And he's saying, gosh, you really need the help of a general who's got a full army at his disposal, not just a little guy like me. So, he continues and says, Shemisham Ovrima Tifil Israel. My job, he says, just take care of the prayers like we said. My job is to guard them, you know, for the other angels. So, who can stand in front of all these other angels? I'm just speeding up here because I want to get to the point, all right? It says, also, with regards to the inyan of perishut, the matters of separating from the physical world that you have been taking, the fasts, etc. and so on. You've got to do more, all right? V'halo, kol divrei, Perush v'kibel zachar, where it says, those who separate more, the more the reward. Aval ha'amet, im hayti yachol la'asot ha'davar al nachon. If you could do it properly, zacharcha ha'rabbe ma'od. Great will be your reward. V'mi yachol la'amot b'mechitzatecha. No one will ever stand in your place. No. Every time you put food in your mouth, every time, you are bonding yourself to this world. Now, to a point, that has to be done. But what is the wise words of Shlomo HaMelech say to us all the time? Tzadik ochel lisvoa nafsho. The righteous eat for the sake of their nefesh, their soul, not for their tummy. And I see people eating all kinds of things. Oh, lichvot Shabbat Kodesh, oh, lichvot Yom Tov. And then they get 10 pounds overweight, 20 pounds overweight. You're too heavy. You're too thick. You're too weighed down to calibrate to an angelic frequency. All of that has got to be removed. All of it. You have to have such a refinement of mind and discipline of character, such a removal of all this extraneous flesh that literally bonds us, glues us down to this earth, weighs us down. You gotta lighten up. This is what the angel, Sandal, is telling him. So Rabbi Yosef answers and says, "Tzair ani katan v'yodea ani b'atzmi she'eni ra'ui la'asot ha'davar hazeh." He says, "I am young, I am small, I know for myself I have no merit to do all this. Ki mi ani lavo lifnei ha'melech? Who am I to come in front of the angels, etc., and so on." All right. V'lechen melech ha'shoret kadosh Hashem. So, long story short, he asks Sandal, "What am I supposed to do? How do I get in touch with the Katrikel? How do I get in touch with Matan? What type of Pirishut, holiness, Tahara? What am I supposed to do? What kind of names?" Remember, when you're calling upon a name, you don't call upon a name of an angel and all of a sudden he comes. Can you imagine if that little piece of bacteria that we spoke about earlier had the ability to communicate and goes, "I call upon you, Dr. So-and-so, to appear." And all of a sudden the doctor's going to wake up out of his sleep in the middle of the night. "I must go to the Petri dish. I must talk." What are you, an idiot? What are you thinking? Wake up! Stop thinking fantasy fairy tales. Holy names are means of communication. They are frequencies and resonance of sound that when your mind, your voice, physically recites these sounds, it channels aspects in your mind. It opens up avenues of consciousness deeper than your unconscious and enables you to calibrate a connection through space, through time, to connect with entities beyond our space and time. And when your mind is opened to this through the proper techniques, you can actually open wormholes in space and through which things do pop out. You see about these kinds of things in movies today. I heard there was a movie came out last year about a person who, by the will, can pop from one place to the other. And people said and laughed, "Aha, what a fantasy." I said, "A fantasy, huh? Did you ever hear of the Hebrew term, kfitzat haderech, where in which it's called shortening of the way?" Baal Shem Tov did this all the time. Rabbi Eliezer of Gemiza, one of those guys related to the Baalei Tosafot, one of the European French Kabbalists who brought the Kabbalah to Spain to the hand of the Ramban. That's how he got from one place to the next. They shorten the way. They create wormholes. This is not mystical fantasy. This is not fairy tale. This is a scientific fact. They have the resonant sounds and the ability to know how to scientifically apply these things and make it work. "Oh, gee, I wish I could do that." You know, I wish you could too. You want to learn how to do it? I could show you the books where it's written. But are you going to go through the discipline to go and make it happen? Yeah, you are? Baloney. All right? Let's stop kidding each other. Let's compare it. Someone says, "You know, I want to go to the gym and I want to be able to bench press 300 pounds. You know, you can really train yourself to do it. Are you? Are you going to exercise? Are you going to discipline? Are you going to do what's needed to transform your life comprehensively to get to that goal? Are you that focused and disciplined?" 99.9% the chances are no, you're not. And it's the same thing here. This is all a spiritual technology. It works because it works. It works because that's natural to work. It's meant to work. And it's open for you to try. Even if you're a Ben Noach, like Tana de Eliyahu, Eliyahu Rabbah, in the ninth parak says, Eliyahu Navi states, whether it be a Jew or a non-Jew, man or a woman, free man or slave, everyone can get Ruach HaKodesh. It all depends on their behavior. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, in his commentary to Rambam, writes that even a Ben Noach could become a Navi to talk to Hashem. All right? It's all up to you. All of it's out there. I put this material all in my writings. I put it out there for everybody to have access for, where everybody wants it. I believe that's what's right to do.
Oh, I'm revealing secrets.
Let me tell you something. All I'm doing is telling you how to mentally and spiritually bodybuild. That's all I'm teaching you to do. Whether you can do it or not is up to you. Is it dangerous? It's dangerous for you to go to the gym and put 200 pounds on the barbell and try to lift it when you can't. You'll get a hernia, or you'll break a something. Same thing spiritually. You try something before you're ready. You hurt yourself. Good. Why do I say that? Because I'm cruel? No. Because you're going to learn a lesson. You're going to learn your own parameters, balance, limitations. And then you will explore and experience. And then through your experience, you will know. Rather than have to rely upon someone else who knows for you. Or, for that matter, doesn't. Moving right along. All right? I want to jump ahead. So, Rabbi Yosef has his work cut out for him. Alright? And the Malach also adds now and teaches Rabbi Yosef, Shema na devarai, ve'elokim imecha. Listen to what I'm telling you. God will be with you. Et ha-devar hazeh ta'aseh, this is what you should do. Alright? Mitzavach elokim yechalta ha-omed. Alright, this is what you're going to do and God will be with you. Yeratzon mi lifanav lahatzlech lo'tzi machshavotecha lifol. God should bless you, he should be with you, etc. and so on. And then he explains to him what it is that he has to do. He says, Arba'im yom, right? For 40, the next 40 days, lo yazuv machshavoteim mikol ha-muskalot. For the next 40 days, keep your mind focused on the truth. It says here, from all the separation of the physical worlds here, right? Mina muskalot, afilu rega be'ni yom be'leila, all day and night. Learn to focus on reality. Exercise your mind to see the truth behind the veil of the illusions of this physical world. Targilu be'achila devar mo'at. Regulate yourself only to eat as little as necessary. Alright? V'tosifu b'hanat areach. And he says, smell a lot of this spice. The spice, the incense, the herbs. Alright? That, he says, kihi ikar chiyut ha-neshama. That is how the soul is fed. V'char arba'im yom, says after 40 days, t'skir shem ha-mefurash shel shem ben ab. Then recite the 72 triad name. Now this 72 triad name comes from three pasukim in Parshat Beshalach. And there's a big secret to it. You see, I can easily show you the letters. I can easily show you the vowels. I have shvitis that I have them readily available for anybody who wants them. And you can recite them out loud, yelling and screaming until you're blue in the face, and absolutely nothing is going to happen. Lightning bolts are not going to come down from heaven to strike you dead for doing an Avera, and the heavens aren't going to open up with Malachim waiting to shower with you with blessings. Because just reciting sounds is not enough. It's a calibration of mind. You see, each of the 72 triads, it's not 72 letter name, it's actually 216 letters, sets of three, 72 triads. Each triad is merged in a knitted pattern with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then each name in and of itself is the beginning or capital letter, Resh Hei Tevot, of 216 angels. And you must recite them all in the proper pattern, all in the proper order. It's kind of like dialing a phone number. And unless you do it properly, you will never, ever get it right. It is said in the books that teach these techniques, those who do it wrong will die. That's right. So, are you willing to do it? Are you really willing to die? Are you really, 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 really willing to die? Alright? Most people, if they really think about it, will say no. But some actually do get to that level where they say, Ribono Shelam, like Rabbi Yosef. Right? You know, life or death, I'm willing to do what it takes. And they will do the system. And they'll do it once. And they'll do it again. And the results are forthcoming. No, the roof of your house will not be ripped open and angels aren't going to come out of the sky like they did here with Rav Yosef. But other ways of communication do occur. Very, very detailed other ways. That has to be left for another time. But I just want you to know that the technique that the angel Sandal is teaching Rav Yosef now does survive with us to this day. Continuing. When you do the namesis in all of its kavanot and all of its vowels and all of its sources, those are the issues that I just described to you. It says, Ubot Hashpia Shnei Melechim. With these holy names will you then invoke the two great angels that we've been speaking about, who are very great and very powerful. But now, prior to this invocation, Itpadelu v'titchanenu v'bakasha l'pnei Hashem, pray, supplicate before God, she'azor etchem, to give you, remember Rabbi Yosef here is with his five talmidim, ten lechem koach, lisbol amora gadol ra'esha gadola. You need power. You need the strength and the stamina, because once these wormholes are open and these entities actually make contact with you, boy, oh boy, oh boy, you better pray that God gives you the power to stand. He calls here the great fire, Shelo Tamutu, that you don't die. You see, just like it was with the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was an actual energy, a source of energy, all right? And therefore, anyone who got close to it in the wrong time, like Nadav and Avihu, or touched it, if you remember the story of Uzziah, bam! You were electrocuted. Not because God punished you because you were bad, but because, oh no, you just got a little too close and bam. It's like walking into a nuclear blast. It's like walking into an electric shock. Bam, you just die. When these entities appear in their physical form, now they're going to come in a dream through a holographic projection, you don't have much to worry about. But if they're going to come, if you will, physically, literally, as we will see here, this is what happened. You know, their physical form is not indigenous and conducive to a manifestation and appearance here on planet Earth. This is exactly what happened on Lil Shavuot. When the wormhole was opened on Sinai, and the higher dimensions came through, when the voice of the Creator Himself spoke, just as a little sideline here, remember what was spoken at Mount Sinai? You probably don't. Because Rambam makes it very clear. The first two commandments were heard, but the people heard a voice. And that's all they heard, without words. It was a single sound, unbroken, into words. Rather than hear the voice say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they heard, Aaah. And that was it. And that sound resonated so deep within their molecular structure that it killed them. And that indeed, if it wasn't the miracle of Hashem to reconstitute the relationship of soul to body, it literally, everybody would have been, you had 6 million corpses in the desert. I mean, that's the reality. It was 6 million, 3 million, however many. But that's the reality of it. They did not hear words. They only heard a voice. They heard a single sound. And in their minds, psychically, they understood what the voice was saying. Go read Rambam on it. Moreh Nebuchim is very clear, and many of the other Mefarshim are as well. Okay? Rav Yosef now is having an experience not as profound as this. At Sinai, when that energy and entity came through, literally, the connection bridge between dimensions was incongruent and therefore had to be stabilized. But the stabilization was fragile. So at Sinai, you hear the world is shaking, there's earthquakes, everything is ripping apart. And exactly the same thing happens here with Rav Yosef. Alright? Compare this, if you will. If there are living entities on the face of the sun, not that I'm saying that there are, I don't know, but let's just say there are. What would Mr. and Mrs. Sun Dweller be like? Well, being that the sun's about 10,000 degrees hot, something tells me they're probably not like us. They would look at our world as being a big ice ball. We would look at them as being fire. So, if they were to come to planet Earth to come and visit, what kind of flying saucer would they be flying? Certainly not one which is made out of freezing ice. Probably be something as hot and fiery as they are. And therefore, if it came down to our Earth, just the mere presence of it, such something so hot, would burn our atmosphere. It would create a major contention with the natural laws as they're applied here. Think about that, because that's exactly what it's like when an angel comes. Think about that, because that's exactly what happened at Har Sinai. All right? This is real. This is not some make-believe fairy tale story. Let's move right along. Okay? So, Rabbi Yosef and his students now have to call upon the great and holy name, to call upon the angels of Katrikel and Matat. All right? So, they're going to do so. And then, of course, Sandal goes, says, V'yelech malach Hashem v'sar HaShemayim. Sandal disappears, and Rabbi Yosef's Talmidim is still flat on the ground in fear and Ema. They are just like totally overwhelmed by the presence of Sandal. But now, V'yakumu ma'al peneihem, they get up. V'yelchu derech ha-midbar al har echad karov v'miron. They go out into the wilderness here, it says, to a mountain that's close to Miron. V'yimtza'u ma'ara v'yoshvu ba. They find a cave to dwell in. So it's to completely divorce and distance themselves from the physical distractions of this world. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave, Eliyahu HaNavi in the cave. Caves are really cool stuff. If you've never gone caving, to literally find yourself in a place absolutely devoid from sight, sound, or anything, go try it sometime. I endeavor to go out in the caves. I find it, I go and I get lost in there. And oh boy, you can go in there and meditate. And boy, oh boy, you'll time flies when you're having fun. If you call that kind of stuff fun, and, you know, tell you the truth, I do. What can I say? Alrighty. V'yasu 40 days now in holiness and purity. They did this for 40 days. They didn't hold back on anything. They finally didn't feel anything about themselves. Nothing about this physical world. And all during those 40 days, nobody saw them. No person bumped into them in the cave. No animal came in there. Nothing. The six of them were there alone. After these 40 days, they go out. And they're over by their stream, etc., and so on. Kisham ayotovlim kol otam arba'im yom. That's where they went to Tabel to go into the mikveh for 40 days. V'yachinu atzman litpelat apilat mincha gedolah. It's time to daven mincha gedolah. Actually, they say anenu. They prayed to Hashem with supplication, with great crying, and they made now a great circle. V'alsu agula ba'aretz. They make a big circle. V'yachnisu tocha ma'agal, and they go into the circle. V'yitznu yadam kol achad l'chavero, and they all hold hands. Ad shenikashru b'yadeim zeim, zei be'igul, until they all are in a big circle in the circle. V'yitzaku el Hashem achad nefilat apayim, and they call to Hashem after nefilat apayim. V'yaskiru shem emifurash, and they call it the 72 triad name. And then they call upon the Katrikel in his camp, and Matat in his camp. Now, remember this story from Choni Amagel, from the Gemara? There's a great holy sage in the Gemara. Went, made a big circle around himself. He said to Hashem, I'm standing here until you send rain. Well, Hashem answered. There's a big issue of creating the circle. All right. Some understand this in an occultic way. But you are making a makom kadosh. It is as if you are creating a mikdash katan. And literally, there is power in numbers. That's why we have a minyan. Okay? Part of Kabbalistic ritual, which I'm not going to get into. Oh, I am not. I don't want people doing this, and I'm not going to outline it publicly. But, being that our story relates so much, you draw a circle. And though it's not written in the story here, I'll tell you, you write certain names in the circle. You have certain lights around the circle. There's a whole, almost like a ritual altar you establish here. So that when you invoke the powers, you are creating a safe space, both psychically and physically, so that when that angelic wormhole opens up, you're in a position of protection and safety. Now, let's continue the story. Now that they recited this name, the land starts to shake. There are great sounds and thunders. and the heavens opened, the Yeradu Malachim, and his angels come down, in Kol Machanotehim, with all of their camps, Yivakshu Lifgoa, and they don't come down with welcome open arms, hi, how are you, it's so nice to see you, Baruch Hashem, Mashiach is coming. No, they sang, what on earth is a human calling us? How did they get our phone number, if you will? How did they know to get this proper calibration that opened up this magnetic attraction which funneled us through this wormhole? You know something? We want to know who this is. We're going to, you know what? Okay? So, this is exactly what they wanted to do to Rav Yosef and his students. But they were still standing there holding hands. They only strengthened themselves in all their kavanot and the holy names that they know in their minds, right? But they shut up. Oh, they did not open their mouths. They were so freaked out. I mean, really, in all due respect, this type of experience is not something that people experience every day. You and I can talk about things like wormholes, extraterrestrials, and all that other kind of stuff. We have been educated, brainwashed maybe, by Hollywood, by movies, by stories, that we are much more sophisticated in the realm of imaginative faculty than people were 500 years ago. So therefore, if we had this experience today, I assure you it would be as equally frightening as it was to Rav Yosef and his Talmidim. But we might understand it differently. We might question, what is that? We would have questions and ideas that they did not. But nonetheless, it says here, they were stunned, speechless. Now, flew kulam la'aretz, and they all fell to the ground. But they didn't break, let loose their hands. They held tight. Now the angels come down, and Rav Yosef says, what do I have to do? You know, I'm just the lowliest of everything here, you guys, and these big, holy, pure angels. What do I got to do to get you guys like to not, like, you know, blow me away? Wipe me out? Please, strengthen me. Give me permission to speak to you. He says, look, I'm like a... Here, my stumbling. I'm like a dead stone. I mean, my soul, my spirit has just left me. Now, listen to this. Ve'yoshet ha-malach et yado ve'yigabo. The angel sets out his hand and touches him. Gee, I thought these angels weren't supposed to have physical bodies, huh? Yeah, right. What was? Oh, it was a metaphorical hand. Yeah, a metaphorical hand. Okay. As if he needs a metaphorical hand. Oh, it's just l'shakecha da'ozin, as we say. Just for the mind. Yeah. Okay, I know all of the philosophical stuff. Do you want to know something? The angel had a hand. And he did. No, it wasn't made out of flesh and blood like you and I and our hands. It was energy. But the fact that it could touch, the fact that it had form, that is what we must understand here. I've made you strong. I'm listening to what you're saying. Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef now is getting stronger. He's able to talk. And he opens up his mouth. And Rabbi Yosef answers and says, you, great, holy, pure angels, right? I beseech you, please. Right? The Koach Hashem HaGadol Meforash, by the power of the great and holy name, Asher Hashem HaKadosh, say this holy name we're talking about here, that upon which many things stand, above and below, Tenu Kavod L'Shemo, give glory to the name, holy name of God. V'horeini, show me now, what is this source of the power of the Sam and his camp? Right? What can I do to topple them? Wow. That's a pretty tall order. But this is where Rav Yosef is at. The angels now respond. Va'anu ha-malachim yachtav. The two angels respond together. Hoshit l'shol.
Excuse me. This is not an easy thing you're asking here to do. Ki im ha'ita yodeh ba'avonotem she'yisrael. You only knew the collective mental power of Klal Yisrael and the blemishes of mental sin, which leads, of course, to emotional and physical sin. Those create negative, inverse energies. And if you only knew how strong this was, then you'd realize what exactly you're up against, right? And how strong, therefore, Sam is. Because, listen, it's like a seesaw, alright? The more power he has, the less power we have. The more power we have, the less power he has. Seesaw. Balance up and down. It really works like that. That's why our sages say, never underestimate the power of the single mitzvah that you do. The single mitzvah that you do can tip the scale of balance. Don't be so stupid. That's a blunt word, but it's true. Think, oh, I don't have such power. You don't know that, and yes, you do. The little thought that you think, the little act that you do, however small, however great, you don't know how that's looked at in heaven. And you can do something which in your eyes is insignificant and small, which can have the most profound and greatest effect in heaven. Do not underestimate the power of a mitzvah, ever. Now, getting back to our story here, it says, right? No one knows the Sam like we know him, right? Our job, we protect the upper path so he doesn't make an assault, right? We're the guardians to heaven. We know what his way is. And he's very strong. No one can bring him down like you're thinking, right? And his place takes up almost like a third of all the realms because of the sins of the Jewish people. Chazak u'ma'od, he's very strong. V'lo tuchal lo biladei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. Only God himself is the one who can take him down et ba'diboro, at the time when God so ordains it. Now, V'yosef od Rabbi Yosef be'omar. And Rabbi Yosef again says, I made a decision, I'm willing to die for this, right? I'm willing to die for the glory of Hashem and the Shekhinah, right? Look, I'm talking to you. I'm here. We actually made this connection, alright? So I'm able to do something. I trust in the grace and mercy of God that He's going to help me, and He's going to successfully raise up my hand in this, right? And I will come to do all of these pure and holy things according to what I'm supposed to do. And everything you guys tell me to do, I promise, I will do. And then continues a dialogue amongst the angels here. It says here, the angels answer, and they tell Rav Yosef the specific things he has to do. But that, Be'ezat Hashem, let's begin in our next shiur. I just want to conclude here, and have you realize and recognize again, the nature that what we're discussing here is not a fairy tale. This actually really happened. They made contact, a close encounter beyond the third kind. Alright, you go look up where those terms come from, a close encounter. First kind, second kind, third kind, fourth kind, fifth kind. Alright? I don't make these terms up. This is real. This is as extraterrestrial as you get. And it's important that we begin to understand the nature of our spiritual world correctly and properly. Because when we do, we can then make the appropriate endeavors to make contact. And when we have contact, then by all means, we can bring heaven to earth, Mashiach to earth. And that's exactly what this is all about. This is our awakening. And the purpose why I'm teaching these classes. On that note, Be'ezat Hashem, we'll conclude and pick up with the dialogue of the holy angels with Rabbi Yosef Elarina in our next class. Baruch Adonai Lo'olam. Amen.